pressure campaign will continue until North Korea takes decisive steps to denuclearize.
Pressure and sanctions to continue against North Korea. It's Wednesday, January 17th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Hello and welcome. Join us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, China deals with a complicated oil spill. Freedom of the press erodes in Asia. Rock climbing in a wheelchair. Contaminated honey improving Earth from space. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Foreign ministers from 20 nations meeting in Vancouver in regard to North Korea say sanctions pressure must continue against the country until it abandons its nuclear weapons program. Tuesday's ministerial talks in Canada come just days after a mistaken missile alert sparked panic in Hawaii, a sharp reminder of the fears over North Korea's nuclear aggression. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said the gathering of like-minded nations sends North Korean leader Kim Jong-un a unified message.
Let me be clear, we will not allow North Korea to drive a wedge through our resolve or our solidarity. We reject a freeze-for-freeze approach in which legitimate defensive military exercises are placed on the same level of equivalency as the DPRK's unlawful actions. The pressure campaign will continue until North Korea takes decisive steps to denuclearize. This is a strategy that has and will require patience.
The top U.S. diplomat urged China and Russia, which were not invited, to fully implement United Nations sanctions against North Korea.
We must increase the cost of the regime's behavior to the point that North Korea comes to the table for credible negotiations. The object of negotiations, if and when we get there, is the complete, verifiable, and irreversible denuclearization of North Korea.
Stephen Norper, senior policy director at the New York-based Korea Society, tells VOA's Victor Beatty the Vancouver meeting aims to find a way to tighten existing sanctions.
In particular, to step up and really provide some strength to the PSI, the Proliferation Security Initiative, and to allow interdictions or at least increase the ability to take a look and to enforce it. So that's the important part of it, and it seems that with 20 nations as well, there's the idea that you strike at unity and you send a common message to North Korea. That said, neither China nor Russia will be there, and so that seems somewhat problematic.
China said holding this kind of meeting that does not include important parties to the peninsula nuclear issue actually cannot help in advancing an appropriate resolution to the issue. Do they have a point?
Well, they have a point, ironically, in that it's China and Russia who would be the biggest violators in terms of what we've seen by way of transfers at sea of oils involving North Korean ships. And there have also been reports of Russia offloading coal, turning off its beacons, and then going into North Korea. So it seems that there are real issues in terms of China and Russia. It would be good to have them at the table. But the effort here seems to be one of the nations, most of whom were involved in the 1950 to 1953 Korean War.
The White House on Friday welcomed news that China's imports from North Korea plunged in December to the lowest level in dollar terms since at least the beginning of 2014 with trade curbed by U.N. sanctions.
It seems that China has decided to step up to the plate and enforce more, and it has happened at senior most levels. It's happened with China's central bank, and it does appear that trade is going down, and the customs reports are indicating that there is a dramatic decrease over time. So that no doubt leaves the North Koreans concerned because China is their largest provider of fuel and foodstuffs, and it may mean indeed that sanctions are starting to have a bite. And that is part of what Ryan Hook was getting at by way of maximum pressure, seemingly paying off to some degree. That was acknowledged by South Korean President Moon Jae-in when he credited the Trump administration for its policy in helping to spur on inter-Korean dialogue.
North Korea has defied United Nations calls to refrain from nuclear and ballistic missile tests. Those tensions have eased somewhat in recent weeks, and representatives from North Korea and South Korea held their first formal talks in 2 years. These are among some of the top Asia stories trending on VOANews.com. President Trump and Xi Jinping hopeful Korean contacts will change Pyongyang's nuclear weapon pursuit. Japanese broadcaster issues false alert of North Korean missile strike. Myanmar, Bangladesh to begin return of Rohingya refugees. Thai junta boss eyes staying on with little stopping him. Guru turned entrepreneur targets India's online market. Expanded coverage of these stories and a whole lot more are on Facebook at VOA Asia. You can also visit our voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. China says oil slicks from a sunken Iranian oil tanker appear to be spreading in waters between China and Japan. The State Oceanic Administration estimated one was 15 kilometers long, southwest of where the Sanchi sank on Sunday, while another stretched 18 kilometers to the east. The site is about 500 kilometers east of Shanghai, 310 kilometers to the west of Naha, Japan. The tanker collided with the freighter CF Crystal January 6th with the apparent loss of all 32 crew members, two Bangladeshis and 30 Iranians. Alaska-based oil spill environmental consultant Richard Steiner tells VOA it is the single largest release of petroleum condensate in history.
The tanker had about a million barrels of this very ultra-light oil on board called natural gas condensate. And this stuff behaves very differently than crude oil when it's spilled. It's very light, it's very volatile, and it's acutely toxic, even in low concentrations down to just a few parts per million. We don't know if all of this has been released to the environment yet, but if it didn't burn and didn't evaporate and went into solution in the upper water column, there may be some intact cargo holds still on the Sanchi, on the seabed of the East China Sea. And if that's the case, we need to get that off of there. And there's ways to do that. But if all this has been released, which ultimately probably has, this would constitute the single largest environmental release of condensate in history. So there's some concerns.
Richard Steiner said if some of the cargo holds containing the oil remained intact and went to the sea floor, that's what he called a ticking time bomb, and it must be removed. He said there is a precedent pointing to the successful removal of 13,000 tons of heavy fuel oil from the Prestige off of the Spanish coast. Ways to strengthen security cooperation against the menace of Islamic extremism that both democracies face. Netanyahu spoke while on a six-day tour of India. It's the first by an Israeli premier in 15 years. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us on this Wednesday on VOA Asia. A new report released by the independent watchdog organization Freedom House says democratic principles such as election integrity and freedom of the press are weakening. Freedom House analyzed data from 195 countries over the 2017 calendar year, and it found that 88 countries were rated free, 58 countries were rated partly free, and 49 countries were rated not free. VOA Asia's Ira Melman spoke with Arch Puddington, Freedom House Distinguished Scholar for Democracy Studies, about the latest freedom in the World Report.
It has shown that freedom is in decline for the 12th consecutive year globally.
Since this broadcast is aimed at an English-speaking audience throughout Asia, if you can explain to me how Asia fares, where and how.
So Asia is not one of the worst performers. There are a lot of strong democracies. Over the past year, democracy was strengthened in two countries that are under the shadow of China, and that is Taiwan and South Korea. South Asian countries are a very mixed bag. India is one of the, you know, the, well, India is the biggest democracy, the most populous democracy in the world. Sri Lanka has seen an uptick over recent years. Pakistan is perennially troubled. Afghanistan actually showed some improvement over the past year. The main problem area for the year 2017 was in Southeast Asia, where you had the three former, well, the three communist countries, Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos, that have resisted any kind of democratic reforms. And in Cambodia in particular, you had a series of developments that have essentially made Cambodia into a one-party state under the leadership of Hun Sen. But you've also had negative trends in Myanmar, in Thailand, in the Philippines, and in Malaysia. So you've got most of that region moving in the wrong direction. There are different factors at work in different countries. Corruption is a major problem. In the Philippines, you have a kind of a demagogue as president. In Thailand, you've got a military government that's taken over and appears to be preparing the way for military rule indefinitely. And in Myanmar, you've got a situation where we're now starting to learn that the fact that the military has never been brought into the democratic reforms that were hammered out a few years ago, that the military can pretty much do whatever it wants, has meant that democracy in Myanmar has completely stalled and even regressed. We are very concerned with the rise of China. And what we have seen, A, is really an almost unprecedented development where a huge country becomes more and more successful, more and more influential, but at the same time also becomes more and more repressive. And we're concerned that China, under Xi Jinping, is starting to promote itself as an alternative model to the liberal democratic system that we adhere to in the United States and that we encourage the rest of the world to sign on to. And we're worried that Chinese influence is going to be spreading not from not just the countries that are neighbors of China today, but to many other places, places like Australia and New Zealand, countries in the Balkans that are key to the Chinese One Belt, One Road project, and so on and so forth. China is trying to expand its influence in every part of the world, and at one point that influence seemed to be pretty much focused on trade and development, but now it's trade development and with certain political goals as well.
The United States was not left off the hook in this report, was it?
This is the worst score that the United States has ever gotten in the 45-plus years of freedom in the world. The institutions of American democracy have been eroding over the past 6 or 7 years. There are problems with our elections, not just the problems that are associated with the Russian intervention, but other things like gerrymandering and voter suppression laws in some states. We have very serious problems with our criminal justice system. There are serious racial disparities in the people who are prosecuted and sentenced to jail. The incarceration rate is the highest in the world. So there are a number of problems that the United States is confronting right now, and it's not showing much of initiative in actually grappling with the problems that are draining its democracy.
Arch Puddington, Freedom House Distinguished Scholar for Democracy Studies. He was speaking with VOA Asia's Ira Melman. You're listening to VOA Asia.
From Pink to Pitbull, Beyonce to Bruno Mars, the hits live here on the Top 20 Countdown. Hi, I'm Ray McDonald, and for the past 30 years, I've been counting down the very best of the Billboard Hot 100 Pop Singles Chart. The hit list never sleeps, so don't you miss a moment of the action. Join me every Thursday for the Top 20 Countdown, right here and worldwide on the Voice of America.
This news alert from VOA Asia. North Korea has issued another salvo in the war of words with U.S. President Donald Trump, calling a recent boast about the size of his nuclear button as compared to Kim Jong-un's as the spasm of a lunatic. In his New Year's Day speech, Kim boasted he can launch a war with the push of a button on his desk. Instead of a button, click your mouse to visit VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, the world's greatest moment in sports. Well, that conjures many epic achievements collectively shared by fans through the decades. Well, now a paraplegic rock climber in Hong Kong is China's first ever nominee for the honor. The wheelchair user hopes to inspire his countrymen and others living with disabilities to overcome the challenges that stand between them and their dreams, Arash Arabasadi reports.
Lei Chi-wai is a four-time winner of the Asian Rock Climbing Championships and China's first winner of the X Games. A car accident in 2011 paralyzed him from the hip down, but the 35-year-old just won't quit.
I love to rock climb. Before, there was a lot more freedom. I could go to various indoor climbing spaces, or if I wanted to go rock climbing outdoors, I could do it whenever I wanted to. But now that I'm in a wheelchair, I need to consider a lot of things. Is it appropriate for me to climb? Is it safe? Are people able to help me? Rock climbing in a wheelchair requires a lot of assistance. There are limits, and it requires consideration of the conditions before I can climb. Even though there's a lot more hassle, I can still do it, but it just requires the help of more people.
After his injury, Lei tried his hand at boxing, fencing, and table tennis, but he always came back to rock climbing. Then, on the fifth anniversary of the accident that took the use of his legs, Lei climbed nearly 500 meters to the top of Hong Kong's Lion Rock.
To me, climbing to the top was accomplishing a dream of mine, and it also, by climbing the mountain, meant that I could show to my friends and supporters that I have overcome one of the lowest points in life. Even though I'm in a wheelchair, I can challenge other sports and still be able to do what I love most.
Lei is now a part-time motivational speaker and was recently nominated for the Larius World Sports Awards Best Sporting Moment for his climb up Lion Rock. By overcoming his own challenges, Lei says, he hopes he can inspire others to do the same. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
This news alert from VOA Asia, another false alert about an impending missile strike from North Korea was issued Tuesday, this time in Japan. Public broadcaster NHK sent out a message online and through its mobile phone application that read, North Korea likely to have launched missile, and urged people to take shelter. You'll have the latest and best information when you visit VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, the decline of the world's industrialized honeybees has been well documented. A combination of pesticides and parasites have led to whole bee colonies dying off. It's a phenomenon called colony collapse disorder. As VOA's Kevin Enix tells us, it turns out the pesticides that are hurting the bees are also turning up in the world's honey supply.
Bees, it is often pointed out, are responsible for about 30% of the world's food supply. But it turns out that the pesticides we are using to keep bad bugs off of our food plants are also hurting the bees.
Well, bees are insects, and pesticides are designed to take out pest insects, but they're pretty indiscriminate.
The culprits are a unique brand of pesticides called neonicotinoids. A new study published in the journal Science has found traces of these pesticides in most of the world's bees.
We know, for example, these chemicals, they attack the brain of the insects and they interfere with their ability to learn and to navigate, which is really important for a bee. A honeybee and other kinds of bee. They have to be able to find their way to and from patches of flowers and back to their hive. And if they get lost, then they're as good as dead.
It's an unfortunate side effect of new genetically modified seeds that come pre-coated with pesticides.
It's supposed to be sucked up by the plant, and it goes to all parts of the plant, including, unfortunately, the nectar and the pollen.
And that pollen winds up on the bees, which Swedish researchers found, then winds up in 75% of all the world's honey, even in far-flung areas like Tahiti that don't do much industrial farming.
The long and the short of it is that we should be worried about this, that it seems that a large proportion of the world's honeybees, and probably other bees too, are being continually exposed to toxins at a level that will be doing them harm.
The European Food Standards Agency, along with the EU Parliament, is considering restricting the use of neonicotinoids. Kevin Enix, VOA News.
Astronauts say seeing the Earth from a distance, where the whole planet comes into perspective, is a life-changing experience that makes you realize how beautiful and fragile it is. A group of enthusiasts in California set up a nonprofit organization that uses satellite imagery to spread this feeling to as many people as possible and raise awareness about the dangers of detrimental human activities. VOA's George Pudich shares the good feeling with us.
Astronauts call it the overview effect, the feeling one experiences seeing the Earth as a beautiful blue ball surrounded by dark and empty space. The proliferation of commercial satellites equipped with high-resolution cameras made this stunning imagery available to corporations and governments as they make decisions about natural resources.
That data is like an infinite number of puzzle pieces. It's available, but it's not assembled in a way that can make any sense.
So California-based nonprofit organization Daily Overview is turning that imagery into meaningful and compelling information for the public. The goal is to make people aware of the planet's beauty, as well as the damage caused by man-made and natural disasters, from illegal mining in Venezuela to Rohingya refugee camps.
We detect change. Relevant change on where in the world humans are impacting the planet, and are able to report on that change at low cost in a credible and consistent way using satellite imagery.
The most interesting images are those that show specific changes over time, such as deforestation, the effect of surface mining, or polluted beaches. Daily Overview hopes to take its activity to a higher level.
I've been operating under the hypothesis that if people see something and they're more aware of what's going on, it will lead to behavioral change.
Other images show stunning beauty of both natural sites and the so-called built environment, cities, highway intersections, bridges and ports. Looking at them, one cannot escape feelings of awe as well as sadness because of the enormity of damage. In 4 years, without advertising, the number of Daily Overview's followers on social media rose to more than 675,000. Each image is accompanied by a short explanation. Special software ensures that images are not manipulated and they are available at dailyoverview.com. George Putich, VOA News, Washington.
You've been listening to VOA Asia, and if you happen to be in Singapore, you can catch us on the radio at Media Biz Radio at Temasek Polytechnic. We say hello to everyone there. Also in Thailand, you can hear us on Chiang Mai University, Radio FM 100 at Chiang Mai University. We're found on iTunes and SoundCloud as well. And of course, we stream each and every day on VOA Asia Facebook and at voanews.com. We'd love to hear from you. You can send us a message through Facebook or send us an email, voaasia@voanews.com. Our director is Tracy Carter, engineer Dave Magnus, managing editor Diane Gao. Skylar Ogden, Ira Melman, and David Bird are part of our VOA Asia team. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead.